meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Today we can say what we wanted to say yesterday.
Right.
TGIF. Thank God it's Friday.
Friday.
For me, it's always the beginning of a busy weekend.
Busy weekend, so, right.
But I look forward to it. It's a the weekend is, well, I shouldn't say quite different. Well, it's quite different in the sense that it's all the liturgies, weddings, quinceañeras, the Sunday masses, and we do them here in three different languages, in Spanish, in English, and in Polish. Geez, I guess if we still had the traditional or the common language of the church, Latin, it would be maybe a little bit easier, but anyway, it is what it is, and it's beautiful. Actually, I like the Mass in the vernacular. I think the beautiful words of the Mass, the Eucharistic prayer, and all that. I think it's important that people know exactly what's being said. At the same time, you know, I remember the old days when really kind of before my time, but really not, because I was just a child when. Actually, when I started serving Mass as an altar boy, we were still in the Latin, doing the Latin, and people would follow the Mass in their missals, right? In the vernacular, they would follow the Latin. So, but anyway, I don't know, even know why I'm bringing that up right now. I think it's just there's this constant, this changing from one language to the next. You have to change. It's like swimming in a different ocean, you know. So, but anyway, so that begins for us, and we're having we have a Mass for the catechist, a special Mass on Sunday for the catechist. You'll be there. Exactly. Yeah, sure. And I had Mass for the kids today. The children.
That's always good.
Thank you, Jasmine. She's got the coffee there, which is always nice. You know, I always brag about their. Ability to keep silent, you know.
Yeah.
I purposely want them to have silence because there's so much noise in the world, and even the music can become a distraction. You know, it's if we have a big Mass or whatever, then that's another thing. But anyway, that's it's been already a busy morning, and the week has been a busy week. And so, how are you? Why should this day be any different from any other day?
I don't know. I just don't have that.
What's the problem?
I don't know. I just, you know, so you want to be happy. I'm happy. It's
be
just
happy.
That I,
don't worry.
You know,
be happy. You
just
know.
Worry about things.
Remember that? Well, you're what we.
Yeah.
What did Jesus say? He says, you know.
Exactly. This is what I need, right?
He says, yeah. He says, Tony, ya basta. Stop it already. He really does. He says, stop it already.
Yep.
Worrying about tomorrow when tomorrow hasn't come. Today has troubles enough of its own. Or today has sufferings sufficient for the day.
Right.
Or troubles of its own. It depends on the translation you listen to or you read. But he says, look at the birds in the sky. Provide for the birds and the flowers of the field. They're beautifully adorned. And are you not more important to me than the birds and the flowers? So yeah, basta. Stop it already.
Stop
enough
it.
Already. Worrying about... But there's a lot to worry about,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's the interesting thing about Scripture, because you see, I've got everything over here. I've got all kinds of stuff here. I don't know where we're going to go today, but I do know. And again, just as a reminder to people who may be just new to this show or this program, I'm a pastor of a parish, so I don't have time to make preparations for the radio. I just
it's not like you're a professional.
It would be nice sometimes.
You're professional.
I love
you
being a pastor, you know, but it's right. just I don't have the. This isn't my job. This right. is just
this isn't your only job.
Part of the mission. Part of the mission. Part of right. the ministry. And I do like it's nice. In fact, last night I had a. You know, the young adults are growing. These are people in their 20s and 30s.
Oh, that's cool.
It's nice really nice. And so after the Mass in the evening, I stop in to see them, mm-hmm. and they were discussing the Eucharist. So I end up, I said, I'm just going to stop in for maybe 5-10 minutes, and I end up staying 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
But they're great, and it's really a sign of hope in this upside-down world, and where we experience I keep using the word apostasy, the going away from the faith, the indifference, the hostility toward the faith. It's basically what we were talking about yesterday with Cardinal Ratzinger back mm-hmm. in 1969, who spoke of the church having to pass through a real purgation, a real purification. And that it's going to become a much smaller church, as we're going to lose a lot, he said, and we have indeed lost a lot. Parishes, religious communities have died, are dying. These are just you can't deny the fact, because reality is reality. And so we can't go back to what it was, but and maybe in some ways we shouldn't go back to what it was. But the church is a church, mm-hmm. and but what we do need is to be who we claim to be, and that is disciples of Jesus Christ. So that he said it's not going to be about theologizing and dissertations and all this, but it's about the worship of God, and that we have the proper worship of God. Mm-hmm. So that we got to get rid of the Second Vatican Council wanted to simplify the Mass in a sense, in order I got to be careful when I say this, because people will easily misunderstand me, I think, but the this fixation with a kind of precision in ritual. So that more of a concern for the ritual without getting into the mystery, mm-hmm. the very mystery that the Holy Mass is. Now, what happened was the ritual. We are ritualistic. We can't. We need the ritual. We need that kind of order in order to help us to enter into the mystery, which is what I think I mentioned this yesterday in the Mass. There's only one. It's a sacred drama. There's only one spectator, and that's God the Father. Whether we're conscious of it or not, all prayer is directed through Jesus to the Father, and so the Mass is offered to the Father in and through, for and with Jesus Christ. But and so we can't. But what happened was, after the Council. So the emphasis should be always the sacrifice, and then from sacrifice that we offer our lives a living sacrifice to God, our spiritual worship, using the words of St. Paul, so that we're then able to, and we're, what we're doing in that is we're recommitting to the covenant every time we go to Mass, to the Holy Mass mission. We're people with a mission, so I keep trying to instill into the children, into the young people, the students, and then having offered our lives a living sacrifice, holding nothing back, giving ourselves to God the Father through Jesus, in Jesus, for Jesus, with Jesus, then we receive the altar of sacrifice becomes the table of the banquet, whereby we're fed with Christ Jesus. Literally, he feeds us with his body, his blood, his soul, and divinity. For what purpose? But to reproduce his life in us, so that we can then leave the sacred space of sanctuary and move into the world and bring that sacrament the living sacrament, Christ reproducing his life in us, bring it into the world. So one of the students, it's interesting, so they were talking about this last night, and one of the, and really astute, these are adults who are very astute and very, they're really in that quest, they're really searching, mm-hmm. and they love the church, and they love the Lord, but they're in that quest, you know, and that's, we got to always be in the search, always in the quest. We're never going to be able to exhaust the mysteries of it all, or like one of the guys said that he mentioned about the dumbing down of the faith, and I think in many ways the liturgy seemed to be dumbed down when we took the emphasis away from sacrifice and put the emphasis on people and their participation, yeah. So that it became the you know, people looking at each other and doing all kinds of things, all kind of unnecessary movement, mm-hmm. Through the sanctuary and in the church, and the sacrifice became in some ways secondary, but in fact not even the emphasis wasn't even on that. It was more on the horizontal, the man in relation to man, woman in relation to each other. It was about the people, you know, the people, the body of Christ. But you know, again, you've got to be, you have to cleave to the head of the body, which is Christ Jesus, who made the sacrifice. But so we really had some nice discussion. But the one guy said, very very smart guy, and he said, you know, we have to follow the example of Jesus. I said, that's true. We have to follow the example of Jesus, but it's very true. But the key is really to allow Jesus to reproduce his life in us. So it's not just that we're following his example, but that we're allowing him to truly be, we're consciously allowing Christ to abide within us, to make his dwelling place in our soul, in our heart, in our mind, in our body, so that then it's the Lord, in spite of us, in spite of our imperfections and our idiosyncrasies and our sinfulness, that but he knows our heart, and we're humble and sincere about offering our lives to Christ for his purpose, right? For his, to do his will, that he, you know, take me and you know, to take my mind, my, let's see, what are the, how does that go from scripture, my memory, my mind, my memory, my entire will. In other words, I surrender my will to the will of God, for God's purpose, that I become a sacrament, that I mediate, that there's this we become what we consume. So it's Jesus who abides within us and therefore lives through us, in us and through us. And it doesn't matter about how we feel. It doesn't matter about how you feel, Tony. You know, how, you know, the fact is,
not about me.
But you get the point. You know, because we may be feeling pretty rotten, mm-hmm. and worried. Yeah, of course. But and again, you know, even there, Jesus, you know, God in the flesh. Yeah. He had his anxieties. He had his stresses and his heavy heart, and he speaks about that himself. And so why should we be spared that? In fact, we're he told us, he didn't hold anything back in telling us that we were going to, you know, we'll suffer in this world. You know, pick up your cross and follow me. You're going to have trouble in this world, and you know, but cleave to me. You know, become one with me. Let me become one with you, and you'll weather the storms. This is the gospel. We read that today is a feast of St. Robert Bellarmine, and I read that the gospel for the feast day. It was where Jesus said, the wise build on rock, and he said, the rain comes and the wind blows, but the house doesn't collapse. Whereas the foolish people build on sand, and the rain comes and the wind blows, and the house falls. There's no foundation. And so we've, you know, it was easy to impress upon the students, you know, that, that we've got to be grounded in God, but you can't be grounded in God if you're not praying. You've got to pray, and you've got to pray unceasingly, constantly. Keep Christ ever before you, and be conscious of the fact that He desires to abide within you. like when Jesus is going to the inner chamber, into the inner sanctuary, into the inner sanctum of your soul, and shut the door and don't even worry. You needn't worry about what you have to say. Your Father already knows. But we do that in and through Jesus, you know. So it's and the beautiful thing is God doesn't wait for our perfection. We're being perfected. He's the potter molding the clay of our lives. As I say so often, you know, life is a purgative experience. It's a transformative experience. It's a sanctifying experience. But it comes by way of the cross. And so in life, there are, you know, the good and the bad, the happy, the sad, the peaks and the valleys. Just like the weather changes, you know, our moods change. But, you know, regardless of what we're feeling, God is, if we've given ourselves and we're consciously saying, Lord, I offer you my life, show me the way, help me to get out of the way, I am nothing, I have nothing, can do nothing apart from you, I embrace that precious nothingness that you become everything, you know, then we have to trust that God will reveal himself in us and through us in spite of us. All he needs is our constant yes. Yes, not to the institution. We're in the church is an institution, a sacred institution. It's a mystical body, and we talked about that. I think a couple of weeks ago, because we're having these reflections by Cardinal Sarah. But in fact, let me just we'll take a break. You know, okay. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll pray, and then we'll just see where I've got all kinds of stuff over here, so we'll see where we're going. All kinds of stuff. It's not stuff. This is sacred scripture.
Right.
This isn't just stuff. This is
stuff.
This is the Word of God. I there's so much beautiful stuff here. It's stuff. I said it again.
There's so much.
Get that
beauty
out of my head, you know. But the Word of God is so rich.
Yeah.
It's so rich. And if we could just, you know, stay in the Word made flesh, you know, Jesus Christ, but as it's reflected. And as we're being taught through the Scripture, and then that brings us to the sacraments, and then we become for each other a source of grace and a source of support, and we help each other along the way. We carry each other through this crazy world that is just increasingly insane, it seems to me, you know, the insanity of it all. Man's inhumanity to man. We're just seeing the beginnings of it again, it seems to me. So, all right, everybody, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750, WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM, WFSI.
All right, pets, pipe down. I've got something to say to you. Yes, that means you too. Please tell your owners that Father Anthony would like to bless all of you on Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. on the grounds of St. Stanislaus Kostka. And if it rains, under the school portico for the St. Francis of Assisi Blessing of the Animals. St. Stan's is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. The Blessing of the Animals, Saturday, October 2nd at 11 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka, two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. And the goldfish are welcome too.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site.
More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Koska is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Hi, everybody. I'm Father Anthony, the Two Tonys, actually, right here on Winds of Change. Thank
right
you.
Here, right now.
Right here, right now. Thanks for being with us. Let us pray, so otherwise yes. We're going to lose that. I certainly don't know when to stop. As people say, I never know how to land the plane. You know,
it's good to be up there for a little bit.
And come down and then back up and all that. So, but let us pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls in the ocean of mercy, opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gush forth from the heart of Jesus,
I trust in you.
As a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.
Eternal God, whose mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but we with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America and the Church to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is a true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And now, trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I tell you, I probably said this yesterday, but the Divine Mercy Chaplet is so needed today.
Yeah.
Because what it is we acknowledge that the Messianic hour, we're living in the Messianic time, but in during this time of great apostasy, this time of indifference, this time of the radical secularization of our society, in this time when systemic atheism is reasserting itself in such a powerful way, in so sadly in our own nation, it's this remnant, the little flock, that in the name of all humanity, in the name of all those who, again, I have to repeat, I probably said it yesterday, but just going to keep it before you. When Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith, or rather hearts that have gone cold? You know, maybe 40 years ago or 50 years ago or 60 years ago or even 100 years ago, that would seem inconceivable. But today it's not inconceivable. Mm-hmm. It's become the reality. And yet we see, and we must take hope in those who are really fighting the church militant, you know, the church in battle, the church that is fighting the good fight with the weapon. The only weapon we really have is the Holy Spirit, right? Like those, again, the young people yesterday, or even our children who are the innocent children, you know, who at least, you know, regardless of what's going on in their homes or, you know, their lives away from here, at least we're able to plant the seed.
Yeah.
And to call them to faith and to virtue and to valor, to courage, to fight the good fight. And you know, the beautiful thing is, like, even speaking to them this morning, you know, there are those who really, they nod their head, you know, they're what is that?
Oh,
that's your phone.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's calling?
No, it's a
warning?
No, it's okay. An alarm.
It's a what?
It's an alarm.
Okay. Just so there's, we're not under attack or
yeah,
anything.
Yeah, that's you know, what so I want to make sure everything's all right.
Make sure everything's fine.
But no, Father, one thing as you were speaking, and my mind kept, you know, I kept going back to the prayers of the chaplet. It's so beautiful. I mean, I always, to this day, I still get choked up when mm-hmm. I say them.
Yeah,
when
I hear actually, it in your voice. Actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to, as much as I try to contain, you know, not, but it's like even in silence, and this is one of the things, and I think why the chaplet to me is so important, because it brought me into the silence. And, you know, when you think about even how you tell somebody, hey, this is my faith, this is what I believe, you really can't do that in a sentence. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yes,
when
of
you
course,
talk about
yeah, sure.
what is Catholicism? What is it? You can't do it in a sentence. You almost have to. You have to see. You have to show the person. You know. You have to just walk with me. Mm-hmm. Jesus said it the best. I think. Just walk with me
and right. Come and see.
Come and see. Yeah. But I mean, when you really think of the silence, I mean, I think it's the silence that kind of. I shouldn't say kind of, really introduced me to the mysticism.
Right.
We start, okay, now that I have this silence, now I want to know about this. I want to know about that. I want to know about, you know, just the faith. So I think that's what we need.
Yeah.
And the words are so beautiful. It's the, you know.
But they do, like you said, they draw you into that sacred space or that silence. That's the beauty of the litanies and the rosary and all that. Is it?
I was never one for these. And I know there's so many people you talk to. Oh, I pray my Sacred Heart. I pray, you know, this or I do that. And I always say to myself, well, you know, which one is it? I even have people that don't know the faith say to me, oh, you know, I don't know. What are the rules so much? Right. What do I need to do? How do I need to pray? It's just, I think, taking that first step.
Right.
And this is what I do when people ask. The fact that you're asking is the first step.
That's exactly right.
You know, and then you just try to be as welcoming. Because, you know, you hear people, oh, I don't like that. This is the church of, you know, you don't like homosexuals. You don't like this. You don't like that. Whatever the case may be. But until people really know to take that step. I mean, that's what's beautiful about our church. It's open all the time. People, and you know this, we say it all the time. People walk in and you hear the stories. People just want to say where they're at or what they felt. And that is not in any way, you know, like I don't know what you say when you think of people and they say, oh, well, I've had this experience. And you say, oh, well, yeah, whatever. It's not that. You know, it's just you want to speak. You want to, you know, tell.
Well, see, that's the when we were reflecting on the those really very prophetic words of Pope Benedict as Cardinal Ratzinger in 1969. Think about it. In 1969, it'll become a smaller church, but it'll be a holy church. This is the time of sifting. You know, this is really what's happening is the Lord is sifting. And even in the sifting, there's got to be the rediscovery of the church, of the faith. And so it's maybe the non-essentials, like let's say the parish was identified by its sports teams or its, I don't know, what, you know, it was like a social organization. It's not, we're not a club. We're not a social, but we kind of morphed into that, I think, you know, because it was, you know, Catholic culture, which is a beautiful thing. But when it becomes about, you know, this group and that group or this society or that society or the school and the sports and all that, which is, these are all good things. But if that is what identifies the parish and the parish doesn't understand or the people don't understand that the heart and the life of the parish flows from the sacred mysteries of the parish, which is the those sacred, sublime mysteries, the Holy Eucharist. And this was one of the things that the young people were talking about yesterday, is the young adults. It's I don't see that when I say young adults, I want you to understand they're in their 20s and 30s, you know. So, but they're young adults, right?
They're young adults, yeah.
But the there you go again. I think something's what's coming. Okay, we're going to take a break here in a second. But anyway, the point being is that they're on the quest, and so anybody who begins the search is going to find, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you begin to seek out, you begin that quest, then it's a mutual thing. It's because it's God who is, as you said, God initiates the question, and he brings us into the journey, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, there may be this initial great consolation that one discovers, but then you're put to the test, because are you going to stay with me? Because it's not going to be easy, right? Yeah. It's not going to be easy.
It's like anything you do. You start out on that journey, and then this comes and that comes, and it interrupts, and then you think, well, you put down like a fight, too. You put down the sword, but no, you have to keep fighting. And I think with the faith, you also, too, there will be moments where you're not going to understand this, or you're not going to, or whatever, life gets hard. But then I've noticed, even maybe it is a part of getting older. You know, I think of myself, I've been in the church all my life, but I think these are the years that really kind of matter. I mean, it's just when you can listen to scripture and then you hear something different, and you've heard it thousands of times. That's what when we were talking about Pope Benedict there, I was thinking of the journey. You know, when we think about scripture, how, you know, the Israelites, they started, and they went through, and they conquered, and were conquered. And it's so much like what goes on today. You know, right. I think about sure. it. For people, and I've heard people tell me, well, it's just the book. It's, you know, it's not this. It's, you know, and it's so much more until you know, until you crack open the book and get into it.
Get
you
into
know
the what I mean? Story, yeah.
And people haven't...
Because the story's rewritten in every generation. Yeah. You get into that sacred drama, yeah. into that adventure. You know, it's I'll just end with, and then we'll take mm-hmm. a break. But the letter of this is today's reading, actually. Paul is writing to Timothy, who is a priest and bishop, been ordained by Paul, and he says, "Teach and urge these things. Whoever teaches something different and does not agree with us, the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and religious teaching is conceited, understanding nothing, and has a morbid disposition for arguments and verbal disputes. From these come envy, rivalry, insults, evil suspicions, mutual friction among people with corrupted minds who are deprived of the truth, supposing religion to be a means of gain." This is a kind of purgation that's happening right now. We're being purged of this. It's going to take a while, but it's happening.
Yeah.
"For we brought nothing into the world, just as we shall not be able to take anything out of it. But you, man of God, avoid all this. Instead, pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Compete well for the faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were called when you made the noble confession in the presence of many witnesses." Many witnesses. So anyway, that's it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Again, I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new WEWTN, the Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ, and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
We are the students of St. Stan Lakoska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change. The two Tonys. Two Tonys. Actually, the reading that I wanted to read, I happened to go to St. Paul's letter to Timothy, which is mm-hmm. reading for the day, but was yesterday we had, it was a feast of St. Cornelius and St. Cyprian, who were both martyred. One was a pope, Cornelius, and Cyprian was a bishop mm-hmm. and martyr. I always tell people, you know, I always say that, you know, we've got we're at an advantage, really, because we have 2,000, 4,000 years to fall back on mm-hmm. The witnesses of those who, in their own time, had to fight the good fight and live the faith, and they were the remnant, the Anawim, the leaven, so to speak. And because every age in the life of the church, there's a battle always, yeah. And but it will intensify as we come to the end of time. We know that from sacred scripture. So where are we? Well, we don't know, but certainly it's a very intense time, and it is we're being purged. Let's just accept the fact that we're being purged. There's a sifting that's going on right now, and it's not an easy time, but it's a great time to be in the faith, because really the Lord is calling us to fight the good fight. It's like the disciples who when he in St. John's Gospel in chapter 6, the Eucharistic discourse, when he speaks about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and that we would have life unto eternity, unto eternal life, food for eternal life. And his disciples, they said, well, this is, how can you give us your flesh to eat and your blood to drink? And he just says, you know, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and repeats that about 6 times. And his own disciples, they say, this is a hard teaching. Who can admit this? This is an intolerable teaching. And he said, we can no longer be in the company of this man. And they walk away, just as today many people are walking away. And he looked at the 12, knowing that one would betray him. These are the apostles. And he says, do you wish to go as well? And Peter said, Lord, where do we go? We've come to believe you have the light, the words of life everlasting. And we also know from the very beginning that if you read the epistles, even written before the Gospels were written, already there was conflict. Already there was division. Already there were the church within itself was at battle, right? Mm-hmm. And but Paul in his letter to the Corinthians, because it's again, as he says, brothers and sisters, we hold this treasure, which is a faith in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all that the Lord has handed onto us. We hold this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing power may be of God and not from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not constrained, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being given up to death for the sake of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since then, we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We too believe, and therefore speak, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and place us with you in his presence. Everything indeed is for you, so that the grace bestowed in abundance on more and more people may cause the thanksgiving to overflow for the glory of God. This is maybe a summation of what Cardinal Ratzinger was saying in 1969, that the church will be purged, will be hated. The very thing Jesus said on the night before he died, you will be persecuted, you will be hated. Those who Jesus says, you're with me or are you against me? You got to declare yourself. Are you with me or are you against me? If you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. And this is again part of the I think what we're going through. For a reason. So it's not, there's nothing new under the sun, but something is coming. Something is coming. If we don't convert, if we don't repent, if we don't consciously give our lives over to Christ in the church, not apart from the church, but in the church, with the church, with Christ, in Christ, for Christ, through Christ. Mm-hmm. But in the church, for the church, through the church, by the church, because the body is one. The head, Jesus Christ, united to his mystical body, the church. We've got the communion of saints, the angels, and the Blessed Virgin Mary, who have already, they enjoy the beatific vision. There's the souls that are undergoing purgation. You know, they died in God's grace. They died in the friendship of God, but they had inordinate attachments to the things of this world. They had to make recompense for their own bad behavior, sinful behavior. And then here we are, the militant church in the battle, and we're really, really pushing against the wind. We're really swimming against the current. And as St. Paul said, we're afflicted, but we're not constrained. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed, and we carry about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. So when we begin the quest, the search, when we begin to get in, like you said, Tony, you just got to come in, like Jesus said, come and see.
Yeah.
Come and see. Don't think it, don't overthink it. Just in faith, give yourself over to Christ and to the church. And let the Lord lead, guide, let him purge, transform, sanctify, be pliable clay in the hand of the potter, because he's calling us. Our Lady, we were talking about this last night too, how the Blessed Virgin Mary is gathering her. We know this from the saints, down through the ages. They say at the end of time, there will be the what's called a white martyrdom. All this stuff that I just read from Paul in his letter to the Corinthians, perplexed, struck down, afflicted. We start the show and I say, how are you doing? And what did you say?
Yeah.
It's because we're in the battle,
Yeah.
We're in the battle. Yeah. And what we regain our strength, that grace has to, we have to reopen our lives to the grace. It's a story of the road to Emmaus, those two disciples who were, their eyes were downcast and they were sad, and Jesus appeared to them and said, what has happened? Why are you so sad? Why are you, your eyes downcast? And they said, well, we thought he was a one, but he died, he's dead, he's been buried. And Jesus says, well, wasn't it all supposed to happen this way? And he extrapolates from the Hebrew scripture, because it wasn't the gospel nor the epistles at that point, the letters. And it was only when he acted as though he were going on, and they said, sir, come and stay with us, it's getting late, the day is far spent, which is the name of the book of these reflections of Cardinal Serra, which I do want to get into. Probably next week we'll really look at those, because there's the four pillars, which is what... do you remember what they are?
I don't remember.
The four pillars. We talked about one of them a couple of weeks ago, but I want to go back to it. Yes, the four columns.
Columns.
Prayer, Catholic doctrine, love for Peter, and mutual charity. The four columns that unite us in the church. And so they're really quite interesting. They're very beautiful. We have a nice extrapolation from his book on these four pillars. But the point being that it wasn't meant to be easy. It's not meant to be easy. And we participate in, as Scripture says, we make up for what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Christ's suffering was sufficient. It was enough. But he brings us into his body, again, the mystical body. And because we've been redeemed, that messianic hour, which we acknowledge in the Divine Mercy mm-hmm. Chaplet, which is really a summation of the sacred liturgy, the Holy Sacrifice, we acknowledge before all mankind, all humankind, that, you know, while many may be indifferent, hostile, and just oblivious, that, yes, we are here, you know, Jesus, you will find the faith because by your grace we will keep the faith, and we acknowledge in that faith what is primary, what is necessary, what is the greatest gift, which is redemption, salvation through the blood of the cross for the sake of his sorrowful passion. Have mercy on us and on the whole world. You get that? We're praying that on behalf of the whole world.
See, that's the thing that's world. So... it just touches me. It's the fact that you intercede. That's the way I feel. Even in times where you don't know what's going on in life, whether it's a personal or just the world, and you have that silence, and I've come to really cherish that silence, and where it's almost like an outcry to God. That's what it feels like.
The cacophony of the world, the rude noise of the world, will not shout into silence the voice of the living God, and that's why Our Lady is sprinkling the world with sanctuaries. That's why silence is so necessary, so necessary. In fact, our growth in the faith is, it just won't happen without silence, which means what? To listen, mm-hmm. to put ourselves in the posture of listening. And you can do that even in the midst of noise.
Yeah.
It's just to open your heart, go into the inner chamber again, as Jesus said, into the inner sanctum. And just, you know, in faith, acknowledge the fact that God is within you. And just, you know, and you don't have to put on a happy face. You don't have to put on, you know, you have to come in the reality of who you are. And just say, here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. Speak. I've mentioned, and I was telling the kids this again today, I keep wanting to impress. In fact, some of the kids had their rosaries with them. Because it's part of their curriculum, in a sense, you know, that they carry, they bring that, just as they bring their books to school, they bring their rosaries. And, but to use that, those prayer beads, as a way to, again, create that, you know, come away from the noise of the world. So if it's just simply using the beads to say, you know, have mercy on me, a sinner, have mercy on me, a sinner, have mercy on me, a sinner, or Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Or, speak, Lord, your servant listens. Speak, Lord, your servant listens. Speak, Lord, your servant listens. Or, here I am, I come to do your will. Here I am, I come to do your will. Or, come, Holy Spirit. But this is all from the Bible.
Yeah.
Or it could be anything that comes from the heart. But what you do is you create through that... those prayers, you create a listening, a disposition of listening. You're acknowledging. You're looking toward. You're on that quest. You're in the search for Christ. And if we do that, then it's a mutual. Again, I've said this many, many times, but it's a mutual exchange. We going to God. God coming to us. It's the prayer, and Cardinal Sarah points this out. Without prayer, prayer is where we're grounded. We got to be grounded. Again, as you know, the foolish build on sand, the wise build on rock. The rain comes, wind blows. We're not going to avoid the storms of life, but if we're grounded in God, but we can't be grounded in God if we're not responding to God through prayer, then the house it falls. It'll collapse. The beautiful thing, I think, the really beautiful thing about our faith is to acknowledge, and this comes with time, you know, because it's a work of a lifetime, to be able to look back and say, and to see how we survived the trials and the tribulations and the persecutions and the distresses and all this, you know, the afflictions of life. Again, going back to St. Paul, you know, that we were perplexed, we were persecuted, we were struck down, we were afflicted in every way. But to see that God brought us through, the miracle of life is that we do survive if we remain in the Lord. And if we did, if we don't, as happens with many people, as we know from history, many of the great saints who fell in really a bad way, but their houses, their lives collapsed, but they had the humility to then reach their hand into the hand of God, and God lifted them up. He brings life out of death, light out of darkness, and He'll bring good out of evil. So that today, really, you know, that what do we say? Don't worry, be happy. But that also, about that time, there was that saying, today is the first day of the rest of your life, right? Right. And it really is. I mean, today's a new beginning.
You look at it. Every day is a new beginning.
Every day is a new beginning. Every day, as I tell the people, tell our children, you know, make the sign of the cross. You get up in the morning, make the sign of the cross, wrap yourself in the life of the Holy Trinity, and get into the work of life. Get into the fight the good fight. Keep the discipline of the faith. Keep the it is a discipline. Yeah. It's not about you. You're not the center. Get out of the way. You know, acknowledge that, you know, you were created by God, for God, and choose to live in God. And then the artist who created you, you're the work of His hands. He knows what He created, and He can bring that beauty out, which is, there's nothing more beautiful than to have a holiness of life, to have that light enter into that darkness within, not to live the illusion. Again, the devil's a deceiver, a seducer. He creates the illusion. He's also the accuser. He'll bring us down. He'll divide us and destroy us and bring us down. And there's a beautiful thing about confession is that people who have been away for a long time and they find in the sacrament of confession the means by which they can come into freedom, come into peace, be lifted up, be restored. You know, it's the whole parable of the prodigal son, right? That he lived a life of he squandered his inheritance in a life of dissipation, bad way of living. I mean, doing the worst things, and he ended up in the abyss. You know, worse than the pigs. And he decided, well, I'll go home. At least I'll try to be maybe I can be a servant. And he goes home, and on his way there, the father's already there waiting for him. And when he caught sight of him, he ran to him. He ran to him, and he hugged him, and he kissed him, and you know, interesting what the son said, I will go to my father, and I will say, Father, I've sinned against God and against you. Because any sin against God is against the body, you know, and he did. And the father gave him back his dignity, his nobility, his grace, put a robe on him, a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, kill a fatted calf, that celebrate because a son of mine who was dead has come back to life. And that's the beauty of our faith, is it's the greatest attribute of Christ Jesus is mercy. It is mercy. And so every day is a new day, a new opportunity. But those of us who are in the battle, we just persevere. We persevere in humility and in the daily surrender of our lives to the Lord. And that's our greatest peace, our greatest joy, our greatest strength. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Have a wonderful weekend. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.